This morning. This morning, I'd like us to open up to the Gospel of Luke. You all have your Bibles. It's important that you read the Word of God. Happy Palm Sunday. It's a wonderful day, amen. I love Palm Sunday. It's really a great day. It's a day really where we remember, you know, our Lord's entry into the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. It really was a powerful, powerful day. It was a critical event in his life, really. Not just in the life of Jesus, but in all our lives too. Because really on that day, how many know the day was like a coronation? That day was like a coronation. And they were going to crown him. And they're going to crown him, they're going to crown him to be a king, right? And there was probably hundreds of thousands of people there. And they're going to crown him that day. So the coronation, Jesus' coronation, is going to be very simple. Really, no formalities, no dignitaries, no robes, and no musicians. But it's true that in all of the coronation that had been held to honor kings, I think we all agree that there was no greater king than Jesus Christ. Amen? And so as they were going to acknowledge him as a king, truly he deserved to be called a king. He deserved honor from the people. He deserved their praises. And so it's so, so important. Yet at the same time, how many of you know the coronation, it was a humble coronation, was it not? It was very much like his birth. His birth was very simple also. His birth was in a stable. His coronation was riding on a donkey. Wow. His birth was attended by shepherds and very lowly people. And his coronation is going to be mostly by common people and religious leaders who are going to reject him. It's amazing, isn't it? But this is the day of his coronation, and he will come into the city triumphantly, and he will be hailed on that day as a king. So let's open up our Bibles and let's read the story. This morning I'd like to read the whole story, starting in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. Let's read the whole story. It's really a powerful story. I don't know if you guys have read the whole story, but sometimes we only read part of the story. Today I want to read the whole story. So this is in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be reading chapter 19. And we're going to be starting with verse 28. And today we're going to go to the very end of the story. We're not going to stop partway through. We're going to read the whole story. So, you all have that? So, verse 28. It says that after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead. And we know he's going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying to them, he tells them, go to the village just like we heard this morning. And as you enter it, you're going to find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. And Jesus says what? Untie the colt, bring it here. Now, if anyone asks you, why are you untying my colt? What's the man supposed to say? The Lord needs your colt. Those who were sent ahead went, and they found it just as Jesus had said. And as they were untying the colt, sure enough, the owner's there. And the owner says what? Why are you untying my colt? Probably thought he was stealing it. And the disciples did what Jesus said. And they say what? The Lord needs your colt. They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on the colt. And then they put Jesus on it. It's a humble coronation. As he went along, the people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd, and it was probably hundreds of thousands of people, because this was during the Passover season, became joyful. And they start to praise God. And guess what? They did it how? It wasn't a small, light voice. This was what? They praised him what? In a loud voice. Thank God for that. For all the miracles, what? They had seen. And what'd they sing? Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, some of the Pharisees, when they heard this, they're all upset, right? The Pharisees tell Jesus, what? Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Stop them from praising you. Jesus said to them, I tell you, if these people keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Wow. As he approaches Jerusalem, he sees the city. And what's he do when he sees the city? He starts to cry. He is crying his eyes out. As he's crying, he said to the people, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's all hidden from you. Wow. It's hidden from your eyes. The day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you. And they're going to encircle you. They're going to hem you in on every side. Then your enemies will dash you to the ground. You will be destroyed, and your children are going to be destroyed. They will not leave one stone unturned. And the reason is what? Because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. This is the word of the Lord. How many of you read the whole story before? How many of you read the whole, you all know the whole story? It is really a very powerful story. And a few things I'd like to bring out today that the Lord has really kind of just put on my heart. And the first thing is the importance of Jerusalem. Jerusalem had to be the place, would you not agree? Because Jerusalem was where all the sacrifices were to be held. The Bible says, Jesus says in verse 28, Jesus is going where? He's going to go up to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is what? How many know how important Jerusalem is? Jerusalem is important. Why? Jerusalem has been important in the past. Jerusalem was important during the time of Jesus, correct? And how many know future events? Where's everything going to happen? Jerusalem. As a people in this country, you need to watch Jerusalem. Amen? Because everything's going to happen in Jerusalem. In this, when I think about Jerusalem, I recognize that Jerusalem was the place that had the... Well, first of all, in the Old Testament, Jerusalem was known as the city of prophets. Did you all know that? City of prophets is what? Jerusalem. Jerusalem becomes a key place for all the prophets in the Old Testament. Jerusalem was critical. When Jesus comes and the temple is built... Now, where is the temple? The temple is where? In Jerusalem. And what's going to happen in the temple? All the sacrifices are going to be made where? In the temple. Is that something? How many of you know when Jesus was young, where did his mother and father take him? To the temple. Where's the temple? In Jerusalem. That's where he goes as a baby. To be presented before God, as many of us have brought our children to the church. Jesus was brought to where? Jerusalem. Amen? And so that becomes a really important city. Not only was he brought there as a baby, but later on in life, we know that he's going to be brought there. Where is he going to suffer? Where is Jesus going to suffer? Jerusalem. Where is Jesus going to die? Jerusalem. Where is Jesus going to rise again? Jerusalem. Jesus says in Matthew 24, he says this. He said that, speaking of future events that are going to happen, he says in the Gospel of Matthew 24, Jesus says, one day you are going to see the abomination of desolation. And this abomination of desolation, we know, is going to come from the Antichrist. You all know this, right? The Antichrist is going to come, and where is he coming? To Jerusalem. And where is he going to go? Into the temple. You all should watch for this event. It'll be a national event. And when the Antichrist comes into that temple, he's going to set up a false image in that temple. Jesus called this what? The desecration. The desecration. And so this is going to happen. Amen? The abomination of desolation is going to happen. So as a body of believers, what should we be doing? You should watch Israel. All of you should watch Israel. You should watch what's going on, because future events are going to come out of the city of Jerusalem. He left from where? Where did Jesus leave? From Jerusalem. Where is he coming back? How do you know where he's coming back? He left on that mountain. That mountain was just outside the city. When's he coming back? Where is he coming back? You all know where he's coming, right? Where is he coming? He's coming back in that city. Amen? You ought to watch for his return. It'll take place there. It is the promise of Jesus Christ. How many know the importance of the city? It is a very important city for God's people. Very important. You keep your eyes on Jerusalem. You'll see what happens. So he comes into this city. But the second thing I love about this is, as he's coming into the city, he is worthy of the people's praise. The people start praising him, right? Why? They praise him because they know what he has already done. They said that when he came in verse 29, it says, as he's coming into Jerusalem, he's got to go through these two towns. What are they? Bethpage and Bethany. Clearly, he tells us here, these are the two cities he comes into. He's got to go through them before he gets to Jerusalem. And how many of you know what happened in these cities? Y'all know what happened in these cities? These cities were powerful cities. Why? Because this is where Jesus ministered. Think about it. He's ministered there. Do you know who lives there? Who lives in Bethany? Mary lives in there. Her sister Martha lives there. And who else lives? Lazarus lives there. And what happened a couple of weeks before Jesus comes into Jerusalem? What does Jesus do? You all know what he did, right? Mary and Martha come to Jesus and they say, "My brother is sick, he's going to die." And then Jesus does what? He delays for how many days? Two. He doesn't come for 2 days. The sisters say, "Our brother is sick. Why aren't you here?" Jesus waits for 2 days. Why does he wait? Because Jesus knows what? He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He wants no man to be able to say, "He was only dead for a short while. Somehow he revived and he's okay." No. That cannot be true. Correct? This man is going to be in the grave for how long? 2 days. So when he comes back and he speaks, he says, what does he say? Lazarus. Lazarus what? Come out. And then what happens? He comes out of the tomb. How long has he been in the tomb? 2 days dead. There's no doubt that the people knew the power of God. Amen? They knew it. How many know that must have been a great story? How many of you think people said, "Hey, you don't know this Jesus. This Jesus went to a man who was dead for 2 days. He loved the man. He calls the man forth, and the man comes out, and he lives today." How many know that story must have gone like wildfire? That story of seeing a man raised from the dead. You see, the people said, what? We know of this. Is that what the Bible says? It says, "We know of his miracles." I know that they heard and they knew. Some probably had seen Lazarus dead, Lazarus in the grave, and Lazarus come back. Amen?
Amen.
They heard this. And so really what happens here as he comes back, what are they going to do? They're going to worship him. Amen? They're going to worship him. There's no doubt. And what are they going to say? "Blessed is the King." Why? They recognize his divine power to raise people from the dead, to heal people, to feed people, to cast out demons. They see his power. They know who he is. And so they, what do they say? "Blessed is the King." It's awesome. But I think about John chapter 12, verse 13. In John chapter 12, verse 13, they add a word that you don't see in the Gospel of Luke. Anyone know what the word is? It's a word I've been telling you about all day today. What is it? Hosanna. In the Gospel of John, he says, "Hosanna. Hosanna. This is the King of Kings. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." What? Hosanna. And what does Hosanna mean? I told you that, right? Hosanna means what? God delivers. God will save. So think about what they're saying in the Gospel of John. Jesus Christ will save the people. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," because this Jesus is the Messiah. He will save the people. How many think it must have been an exciting day? So what are they doing as they're doing this? They're what? Waving their palms. "Hosanna, this man will save people." Wow. And then they take their cloaks, and what do they do with their cloaks? They take off their cloaks, right? He's coming in, and they're laying the cloaks down, and the donkey's going over them. How many know that must have been an awesome, awesome day to watch? Thousands of people doing, thousands of people honoring the Lord. Wow, that was something. They were praising him. They were honoring him. They're waving their palm branches. They knew the hope that they had was in this Messiah, Jesus Christ. They knew that. They knew he was a liberator. They knew his power. They knew his divinity. Awesome. What a day. Amen. How would you like to be there?
Amen.
But as always, there's other people in the crowd too. We know who they are, and they're called the what? The Pharisees. How many of the Pharisees like to show up in a lot of places? They show up in a lot of places. And what happens when the Pharisees, now what are they telling Jesus? They're telling Jesus what? Stop these people from praising you. Guess what? The Pharisee did not want anybody praising Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Why? Because they knew to praise him would recognize that he's God. And the Pharisees did not want Jesus Christ to be known as their Savior. So they, it's interesting, who do they go to? Jesus. And they say to Jesus, you stop them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine them going to him and saying, all these people are praising and honoring him, saying, you got to stop these people. They shouldn't be doing this. Pretty shocking, hey? And what does Jesus say to them? I love what Jesus says, right? What does Jesus say back to them? He says what? He says, go to the next thing. He says what? He says to them, if he said, I tell you, if what? If these people are quiet, if they are quiet, what's going to happen? Stones will cry out. How many of you like to see stones crying out? How many know he would have made the stones cry out? Why would he make stones cry out? Because he knew the people should be praising him. Because he really is the King of Kings. He really is the Lord of Lords. And he knows that when the people recognize it, what will the people do? People who know Jesus is Lord, tell me what they do. They worship. Non-believers will not worship. You all get that, right? Oh, I shouldn't say that. They will worship. They just won't worship Jesus. Non-believers do worship. Amen? You ever go to a football game? After the touchdown is scored, what's everybody doing? Screaming, yelling. Right? What is it? It's really what? It's worship. So non-believers do worship. It's just they don't worship Jesus. Amen? But Jesus says, no, 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 no. These people, they're going to worship me, and I'm not going to stop them. If I do, the rocks will start to cry out. Amen? You understand he would have called those rocks to start praising him? Listen, I don't want any rock. Do you need a rock? You and I should be praising, right? But you don't, so rocks do. So rocks are doing what you don't do. You understand that? So what should you do if you're a believer in Christ?
Praise
him. You worship him. Amen? And if someone tries to stop you, you say, no, I'm going to worship the Lord. Amen? How many know you will be stopped? There will always be people who will try to stop you. Guaranteed. I guarantee you, there'll always be people who will stop you. But I want you to understand something here. Where did they try to stop them? Where were they? They were going on the road to Jerusalem. Now, I'm not talking about the church. I understand if someone came in here, you'd all be upset if someone said, stop worshiping. You'd say, no, no, we're in a church. But this wasn't in the church, was it? This is where? On a road. Going there. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a bunch of Christians going in town and start praising God in this town? I will guarantee you, you will offend people. I will guarantee you, you're going to have the police there. I will guarantee you the news will be there, right? Why? Because they do not want you to worship God outside this building. Correct? What should you do? You should worship. You know, you wonder why people don't worship outside the church. I wonder if people are worshiping in the church. If you can't worship here with God's people, believe me, you'll never worship outside this building. What they think of you will stop you. Amen?
Amen.
I really want to encourage you. We worship God. Amen? Amen. Whether we're in the church or outside the church. Amen? They worshiped him. Isn't that awesome? The culture didn't win. God's people should never give in to the demands of our society when it comes to worship.
Amen?
Amen? But now, this is a turning point. You know, when you hit this place in verse 40 here, this is really a turning point in the narrative. Jesus demonstrates at this point, truly he is the Messiah. But a Messiah that's totally misunderstood. You understand that, right? They're worshiping him, but they don't really know him. And Jesus is going to correct that. And this is going to change the whole scene right here at verse 40. Everything's going to change right from verse 40. The whole atmosphere is going to change. Amen? He's going to come. He possesses the authority to pronounce judgment on them. And does he? Does he do that? Yeah, he pronounces a judgment over them of destruction. Why? He is the Messiah. Amen? He comes and he already knows their future. He knows the city of Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. He knows that city is going to be destroyed in 70 AD. And so he says to them, yes, I am the Messiah. So let me prophesy to you. You will die and your family will die and this city will be destroyed. How could he do that? He is the Messiah. He truly is the Son of God. Amen? And that's what he does. And the third thing I think he does is he rightly judges them, which probably, I would think, shocked all of them. And I think it should shock you and it should shock me. Amen? Are you shocked? How many of you think when they're praising him and they're saying this and he says to them, this whole place will be destroyed, so will you and your family. But then he says this, he says it in go down to verse 44. Why was this judgment over them? You know why it was over them? What does he say? He says to them what? He says, you did not know the time. You did not know the time. It's a powerful statement. Really, what he's saying to them is, you failed to recognize me as your Messiah. Wow. So what's happening? The people are crying what? Peace. Jesus is saying what? You'll be destroyed. You understand what's happening here? The people are saying, oh, all glory to God. And Jesus is saying, you're going to be doomed. Wow. How could he do this? He's the Messiah. But everything, at this point, everything is being reversed. And why is it being reversed? Is what? That verse in 44. Because Jesus knows what? You failed to recognize me as your Messiah. You know, these words will be spoken over and over again, I believe, to this generation. Do you believe that? I do. The same words will be spoken over this generation. Because the very same thing is happening. People have a somewhat of a knowledge of God, but they will not recognize he's a Messiah. Imagine God coming to those people and saying, you know what? I came to you, I preached to you, I had people come to you, but you would not recognize me as your king. Wow. That will happen all over again. Do you understand that? I really encourage you. That is the truth. Wow. It is something. Amen. They're looking for peace. They're looking for glory. They won't find any of it. Wow. Why? Because they never recognized Jesus as their Messiah. But the last thing I want to say is this. And this is, as everything is turning at this point, actually, as things are turning and being, Jesus is speaking what he sees as the truth. Now the coronation of Jesus as a king now is being filled with what? No longer joy. Now it's turning to what? Sorrow. He now is filled with sorrow. You understand that? This great event where the people are saying, Hosanna, he's the king. Jesus looks, and what's he doing? He's crying. Not just crying. I looked up this word. As Jesus comes into the city, he what? He sees the city. He sees the people in the city. And what's he do? He's weeping. I looked up this word for crying, and it's different. You know, there's only two times in the Bible that Jesus wept, right? You know, the first time was when? When he saw Lazarus. When he saw Lazarus and he knew he was dead, he wept over the death of Lazarus. But this word is different from that word. This word, when he sees the city of Jerusalem, is different. The actual word here is kleo, kleo, K-L-A-I-O. And really what it means here is there is a heavy sobbing. There is an agonizing sorrow. He is so agonizing. He looks at the city. He can't handle it anymore. He is overwhelmed with the sorrow that's in him. Can you imagine that? And then he starts crying and wailing and weeping. Can you imagine that? Jesus doing that? Wow. Everything is turning now. And why is he doing that? Well, he makes it clear why he's weeping so much. He's agonizing over the fact that he knows that the people are all superficial. He knows they're superficial. He knows the depth that's in their heart. He knows that they're really not with him. He actually knows that these same people who come to him and say, Hosanna, in a couple of days, what are they going to be saying? Crucify him. Crucify him. He knows that. So as he looks at the city, he sees the people. What's he see? He sees their superficiality. He sees they're not genuine in their faith. He knows they're not. So what does he do when he sees this? He starts crying. He starts crying. I don't know. The people look good. They sound good. But Jesus is crying. Can you imagine that? The people look good. They sound good. They say the right stuff. And then Jesus hears them and he starts bawling his eyes out. Do you understand that? And why? He sees their superficialness. He sees their lack of spirituality. Are they saying the right words? Yeah. But Christ sees beyond the words. Christ looks where? Into their heart. And he knows that they really don't love him. Oh, they say the right word. In appearance and sound, it sounds good. But Jesus knows what? The whole thing is superficial. They don't love him. He sees it. But you would think he'd be angry. How many think he should be angry at everybody? How many know he's not angry? What is he? He's sorrowful. He starts crying. He's bawling his eyes out. The depth of sorrow as he looks at the people. He sees their spiritual condition. He knows they're far from him. He just starts bawling. Wow. Can you imagine that? His heart's breaking. And why is it breaking? He sees their spiritual condition. Why? Why was he weeping? The Bible tells us why he weeps. The Bible tells us in verse 41 why he weeps. Why does he weep? What's he say to them after he was weeping in Luke? What's he say? Why is he weeping so much? What's he say? Go to verse 41 as he's weeping over them. What's he say as he's weeping? It says, verse 41, he says, if you had only known on that day what would bring you peace. But now it's what? It's hidden from you. But a day will come when you'll know you miss me. You never recognize me as this Messiah. That day will come. He said, but now you've missed the day. You missed the day that would bring you what? Peace. How many know they missed the day? Oh, did they say the right words? Yes. Did they have peace in their heart? Did they have peace in their heart? No. No peace in their heart. Did they want peace? Yes, they wanted peace. Did they have peace? No. Why did they not have peace? They did not recognize the true Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen? They did not see this. They did not know it. And Jesus weeps over this. They actually had rejected the peace of God. If you, even you, had only known on this day, what would bring you peace? If you knew what would bring you peace. How many know what he's talking about here? If you knew what would bring you peace. Is he talking political peace? Is he talking social peace? Is he talking you'll get along with everybody? He's not talking about any of that. What he's talking about is if you have peace with God.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. You want peace, but you have no peace with God. You'll never find peace with God. Wow. This is shocking. Boy, everything is turned around. He knows they have no peace with God. They sound good. They look good. Wow. I believe he spoke with such sadness and such sorrow at this time. Because he knew that they had heard. Amen? He knew. He knew that he had preached to them. Did he not know that? He knew that they heard. He knew that they heard about repentance. Did they hear about repentance from Jesus? 3 years of it. So they know it. But they what? They walk away from it. They want nothing to do with repentance. They will not recognize their own sinfulness. They will not. Did they hear about faith in Jesus? They heard about faith in Jesus. Did they hear about loving God? They heard about loving God. Did they hear that their heart should go towards God and give their whole heart towards God? Did they know that? Absolutely, they knew the whole thing. But what did they do? They reject Jesus Christ. They want nothing to do with repentance, nothing to do with faith, and nothing to do with the love of God and giving their heart to God. And guess what? Jesus Christ sees the whole thing. He sees it. And what does he do? Not angrily, but in deep sorrow, he starts to cry. Do you understand that? How many know that would make you cry? How many know the sorrow he must have had at that time? Looks over that city. Imagine if he looked over the city of Wells and Kennebunk. I believe he'd probably do the same thing, amen? I believe he would cry. Because many people have heard. It's just that there's a problem where? In a man's heart. The heart is still filled with what? Pride. Arrogance. Self-sufficiency. I'll live my life my way. The heart is all messed up. But the words are what? Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes. But no, it's not about what the man says. Amen? It's about what's his what? What's in the heart of a man. Do you understand that? This is like, oh my goodness. He sees. He knows. He's so filled with sadness at the condition of people's heart. And what's he keep doing? He keeps inviting them. How many know God's giving them chance after chance? Hey, come on. You got to see this. No, I don't want it. No, you have to see it. No, I don't want that. How many times people do this? They come and Jesus keep pushing. Please, come to me. Trust me. And they go, no, I can't do it. Years go by. They're going down. They have no peace. Their life is all messed up. Jesus comes and says, please, I'm telling you the truth. Come to me. I'll help you. And they go, no, I don't want anything of you. And he just keeps going after him and after him. Can you imagine how heartbroken Jesus was at this time? That he knew that he offered them life, but he also knew that they rejected it. And so he's just so remorseful over this, so brokenhearted over this. Wow. This morning, Cindy and Linda are here, and they have a special song for us they'd like to sing. I'd like for you to listen to that song this morning. Gotta love Mary, amen. She knew who he was. And when she saw him go to the cross, she was filled with sorrow. But she knew that he had to die. And then came the resurrection. It's a powerful story. I wonder, do you and I confess what we believe with our mouth, but then our hearts are far from him? It's a serious question, isn't it? We could come here today and sing, Hosanna, you come to save us, and our hearts can be miles and miles away from God. I just want to remind you, if that is you, that God loves you. You just need to find your way back to the Lord. But do not stay the way you are. Don't say those words and then find your life has no peace, no joy, you're empty, but you say you know the Lord. Make sure when you say Hosanna, God saves you. You mean it. When you sing Hosanna, you thank you, Lord, for saving me. You mean it from your heart. What's God looking at? Your heart. I believe that the rejection of Jesus is definitely a catastrophic, really. As it was then, it still is now. I guess the question is, do we see who Jesus really is? Do we see who he is? Don't forget, he says to them, you don't see. You don't really know who I am. If you did, your life would be changed. And he weeps over that. His weeping is for you. Do you understand? When he dies on the cross, he dies for you and he dies for me. When he gives the message of his salvation, he's giving it to us. He's saying, hear the truth, know the truth, that you find life. He comes for you and I. Don't reject Jesus. Don't be self-sufficient and be prideful and say, I got my life together and I got Jesus over here in this little box. Jesus sees your heart. He sees, and he may be weeping over your heart today because he sees in your mind you think you are, but you're really not. Jesus sees all that. I want to encourage you. Lee, can you come and play in a song as we close today? And is there still hope for us?
Yes.
There's hope for everybody. Amen. You know, I love Jesus because Jesus never gave up. He kept going after the people. And guess what? I want to say to you, he'll keep coming after you. He will. He won't give up on you. He'll keep coming after you until you hear and understand. My prayer today is that you say yes. You say, yes, Lord, it's you coming after me. And I understand now who you are. I give my life to you. That's what he wants. In closing today, maybe you're here today and maybe you're struggling with a lot of things in your life and none of it's making sense to you. I want to say, come to the Lord. Come to him and talk with him about what's inside of you. Let him give you life. If you're here today and you said you were a believer, but you got all this turmoil in your heart. Open up your heart back to the Lord and let God touch your heart. Is there anyone here today that would come? Just come. Just come out of your seat and come before the Lord. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you're sovereign. You knew that colt was there. You even knew the owner. You knew the words that the owner would even ask. You see everything, God. There is nothing, even the hearts of people. There's nothing that you can't see. And Lord, we know first, you just want our hearts. You just want us to give our hearts completely to you. We sang this morning, there's no one else. There's nothing else, God. I pray that the words of our mouth and the reflection of our heart are both the same. That as we speak these words, our hearts are totally committed to you, you and you alone. And then as we live, may we live a life dedicated to you, God. Completely dedicated to you. And Lord, on Resurrection Sunday, I pray for all of us that we would rejoice with such deep joy that we know who you are and we can rejoice with you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your word to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you guys.